Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Somebody texted in, Jordana, how fast can they get the new flu strain into a flu vaccine? Do you know the answer to
Why
that?
Why would I know the I answer don't. To that?
It was addressed to you.
They need to address me as Dr. Green.
Dr. Green, and do you know the answer to that?
I really don't. I have no idea. I'm so sorry that I don't know. Thank you for thinking I would know.
Right.
I appreciate that confidence, but I'm so sorry.
Okay. Wow.
Ask your doctor.
You call yourself a doctor.
I'm so sorry.
You call yourself a vaccinologist.
I'm so sorry.
It's about 5 minutes, I think.
A vaccine.
Yeah, five, ten minutes.
Maybe 10 on a slow day after a holiday.
Sure.
Beautiful blanket of snow came over the holiday weekend, most of that falling on Saturday, causing delight for thousands across the metro area, of course. Then you show up on Monday morning. Let's see. The snow came Saturday. Now it's Monday, yet we still need a snow emergency in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I was surprised by that. You'd think like a day and a half after the snow stopped falling, mainly late Saturday night, would be enough to clear the snow so we don't have to have parking restrictions. Adam and Jor, were you surprised that both major cities had snow emergencies today?
Yeah. I got the text also, and I'm like, really? Now? Like, we've had it's been not snowing for enough time, and we should have had the roads cleared. I mean, it was a weekend. It was less commuters, you know, could have cleaned it.
And they still plow on the weekend.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Now I'm wondering, did I park in a snow emergency spot and will my car be towed?
Well, if it's cleared curb to curb, then you are good to go,
okay,
regardless of the emergency.
All right.
Yeah. Did you park in a giant snowbank?
No.
Oh.
And
were
the roads cleared enough for you to park downtown today?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, you could get parallel.
The only problem now is like if you park on the left side of the meter, where the meters are on the left side of the road, you know, there's now a snowbank there when you get out of the car and you kind of like,
tough.
You put your feet right into the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But your truck's big enough. You can just hop right over.
You're right. And I can just drive over people and things.
Park on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm seeing a lot of buzz in the last few weeks about Stranger Things 5. Apparently that's the fifth season of Stranger Things. I say apparently because I have never seen a second of this show, but I'm seeing it everywhere now. My impression is it's for a younger audience, possibly.
Yes.
Adam and Jor, are your kids, it seems like your kids would be the target audience for Stranger Things. Are they into it, and is Stranger Things 5 a big thing in your house?
I remember I think I watched the entire first season of Stranger Things because it was such a big thing when it came out, and kids were watching it, and there were a lot of Halloween costumes that were based on Stranger Things.
Trying to keep up with the kids.
Yeah, but I lost interest in it, and I don't know if my kids still have interest in it. I guess I haven't asked them. I don't know.
Ruby does, my little one. She's a big Stranger Things. But I was watching it with her to try to, you know, do something together, be interested in what they're interested in. except season, I don't know if it was season three or season two, got really scary.
Mm. Yeah.
And I said, this is, I'm having nightmares about like the Upside Down. I can't do this anymore. And she's like, I know, it is totally scary. So I stopped watching, but she still watches and will watch the final season.
Yeah, they had like Stranger Things days at like Twins games and stuff. I mean, it became
it's
that
huge.
Big of a thing.
It is huge.
But yeah, I did not get involved with that.
Did you, David?
No, like I said, I haven't seen a second of Stranger Things.
Right.
And I, yeah, I don't know that that's my jam. I guess I'm surprised that it's so popular. But
it is popular.
Yeah.
It's very creative and strange, and the characters are terrific. They've grown up on TV, so I can see why people are invested, but it's a little scary for me. Winona Ryder, I mean, come on, Winona Ryder was
She's great.
It was like set in the 80s. They used to ride their bikes. It was, I mean, it was fun to watch that first season because it was a real throwback.
That being said, I did watch a horror on TV yesterday.
Uh-oh.
It started at 3:05 when the Vikings took the field in Seattle. It did not go well for your purple yesterday. Here's the question. In modern Vikings history, which, I don't know, maybe goes back to the late 90s or something in recent memory, is this a low watermark for the Minnesota Vikings in the last couple of decades?
Oh boy, that's the thinking, watching that game yesterday and thinking about the Packer game and now this game, about as bad, two of consecutive as bad Viking games as I've ever seen. I'm trying to think of the really bad years of the Vikings, you know, the Leslie Frazier years, the Mike Tice season here, season there. Thing is, it's never been like a long stretch of bad football. I don't know. I mean, I'm not smart enough to grasp on the team's history to say where that ranks as far as bad football. But boy, it was sub-professional football yesterday, and oh man, it's like, you know, Kevin O'Connell went from being this guy's great coach, the quarterback whisperer, boy, and now we're like, wow, what is he doing? And is this ego, stupidity? Oh, it's. There's not a lot of significant hope either.
Yeah, exactly.
And now your superstar receiver looks disinterested. And oh, man, I don't know. Jor, what do you think?
I mean, the loss is a significant blow to the Vikings' postseason aspirations.
Well, that's over.
Postseason,
there's no chance.
It's it's crucial ground that they lost in this divisional race. They must now win their remaining games and get help from other teams to secure that wild card spot. Is that, like, are we even for a wild card?
No. We're in the
dunzo.
I mean, the margin of error.
I don't think mathematically we're eliminated yet.
Boy,
but
darn close, though.
There's no chance.
The margin for error is officially gone. A strong offensive performance was undone by poor situational defense and critical turnovers. Vikings must regroup quickly,
and they face a tough challenge. Not even close.
Next week, no, not even close.
No, the defense
was fantastic. What's the challenge next week?
The Vikings must regroup as they face a tough challenge next week on the road.
Where?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
And it gave me like some hypothetical opponents. Like, did they play the Lions?
They beat the Lions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, they think they played the Lions yesterday in a high-scoring back-and-forth that ended 34-31. Did that happen?
And they're home next week.
Totally AI
wrong.
Really
very, very
failed.
Wrong.
Like, these are major hallucinations. Maybe AI is a big Viking fan and was hoping to still keep up the ruse.
Maybe AI listens to our show and knows that you give fake commentary and is trying to troll
purposely
you.
Purposely screwing you up.
Was the Vikings offense led by Nick Mullins?
No. I don't know. Nick Mullins, I think, is selling coffee somewhere right now.
He moved the ball efficiently, particularly through the air with Justin Jefferson.
No,
that didn't happen.
No, that's true.
Putting up another elite performance with over 150 yards and a score. Did Justin Jefferson score?
No.
No, none of that happened. However, two critical turnovers, an interception in the red zone.
No, four turnovers.
And stymied scoring drives.
No.
Handed prime field All position wrong. To the opposition. Okay, so they just made it up. Like, AI
Pretty
just
much.
Made it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Don't trust AI.
Yeah, I guess we're me.
By the way, lots of texters saying the Les Steckel year. Of course, you weren't even born yet, probably.
Well, yeah.
1984.
Modern era Vikings.
Yeah. Steckel was his name?
Les Steckel was a one-year coach and was terrible.
Oof.
And he was so bad, Bud Grant came out of retirement to coach the team again.
Well, that's a good ring. We can say the Vikings haven't been this bad since Les Steckel.
Steckel.
Right. Yeah.
That's a fun name.
3-13 they were.
That was my pediatrician, Dr. Steckelman.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, finally here on Quick Takes, we have been on a saga with Real ID. Remember we talked about this yesterday? They finally instituted. They said, okay, you finally need Real ID, and if you don't have it, well, it'll take you an extra 5 minutes. Month, you can still get it right on through. So apparently TSA is finally putting some teeth into it. Apparently starting February 1st, you will have to pay a $45 fee if you do not have your Real ID or passport when traveling through airport security. Is this finally going to move the needle and get everybody to get Real IDs, or is this just one more step in the long saga of getting but not really enforcing Real ID?
No, I think fines will do it, but like, so how does this work, though? So you get through, but now you have like a ticket and you have to pay, or you have to pay before you cross? Because I don't, I mean, that's chaos to me if suddenly you're stopped.
Right? You're getting tickets?
And like you have to wait for the guy ahead of you to pay $45.
I don't know how it's going to be enforced, but like I feel like if people haven't gotten it already, they're somehow taking a stand that they're not getting a Real ID. So eventually, you're not going to be able to travel with just your passport, right? You're going to need a Real ID.
Well, no,
passport
passport sort of outranks Real ID. You're not going to be able to travel with only a standard driver's license.
I think people are just, they don't want, I've tried to do Real ID for my kids. Sometimes we've had very easy passage. Sometimes it's really been a challenge. At least in the beginning, it was a real challenge where the workers didn't know what was like a real, you know, form that you could submit. I think if you haven't done it now, I think people aren't going to do it. They're just going to take their passports.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's our holiday showdown.
Oh, it is. That's
it's coming up next, and it has to do with your Thanksgiving leftovers.
Yum.
Are they still good? Or should they be thrown away? 651-461-9226. The Holiday Showdown up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month, required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes. If network's busy, taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything. You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Let's talk leftovers.
Love them.
The food industry will tell you that you should throw out leftovers after 3 days. Well, folks, it's been 3 days. Are you throwing out your leftovers today? Or are you waiting till they turn green or maybe get that white fuzz on them? 651-461-9226. Is the cranberry sauce in the trash today? Or are you still going to nosh on it for the rest of the week? 651-461-9226. I don't buy that. I eat leftovers for a really long time. So I don't throw out, especially if it still looks perfectly good. I'll try to finish it up, but I will happily eat leftovers for a long time.
Oh, me too. I don't care. They'll sit in there for a couple weeks. Then you'll finally be like, okay, we probably should throw it.
A couple weeks is a lot.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'll even, you know, I come from Cheryl Carter's house where she didn't throw anything away for a long time.
No. Mm-hmm.
So we had Thanksgiving leftovers probably for a month. We used to have a big Tupperware bowl full of turkey. And that turkey would be so dry by the end, but I'd still be eating that turkey.
Well, you put some leftover gravy or you know, some cranberry sauce on it, moisten that right up.
I think you can get a week out of it easy.
What about you, David?
Well, I agree. I'm not throwing any of that stuff away. Although I did throw away a large amount of gravy yesterday.
Why? Why would you do that?
Gravy?
Because I only want gravy like twice a year. Yeah. And I had it 2 days in a row, and I'm like, I don't really want this anymore. So...
Okay, well, what about the fans?
We toss it. But no.
They agreed also?
Yes. Nobody really. I mean, we kind of make the gravy out of obligation. And it's there. And
it's not your thing.
You have the dripping, so you make it. But nobody really likes it. But everything else we're saving. Here's what I'll agree with, though. I'm done just having the leftovers as leftovers. I'm done having a turkey dinner. I don't want to go home today and for lunch have a plate that's got mashed potatoes and turkey and stuffing on. No. I've had that 3 times already this weekend. I got to do something else. So, actually, yesterday, we made a chicken tortilla soup, and instead of chicken, it was jerked up turkey from our turkey. So I'm ready to freeze some of it, repurpose some in a different dish, and like rethink those leftovers. They're not getting thrown away, but I'm done just having, like, I'm not going to have my fifth Thanksgiving turkey dinner today. No.
So good.
No, it's too much.
Gravy over everything, the turkey, the stuffing.
It's just like a big
potatoes.
Pile of mush
at this
point.
So good.
Yeah.
Or make that like the hot open face turkey sandwich with gravy and mashed potatoes on top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I know, but we've already had that now for 3 days, Friday,
again,
Saturday, and Sunday. We've already had that. You know, now it's even the cranberries are starting to turn a little extra sour now.
Yeah.
So it might be time. The Jell-O is looking a little sad.
And you go look up some recipes for how do I make a different turkey sandwich or make turkey nachos or whatever.
Yep.
Do something different.
Turkey nachos. Like
delish.
Oh, yeah. The what's the Irish? McGovern's on West 7th. They used to, turkey is their main thing where they do turkey nachos. Oh, they're so good. I wonder if they still do that.
I would keep, though. Like if there are any rolls, leftover dinner rolls, I would keep that for a while.
You could also throw those in the freezer and pull them out in a couple weeks.
That's
good to go.
Well, that's what somebody says. The highly perishable items that could be frozen are in the box and will be used as needed. The Vikings cupcakes and chips from Cub went in the trash the same day we bought
them. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Harrigan says they're good until President's Day.
Does
Dave Harrigan say that?
Good until President's Day. Yeah, two and a half months. Yeah, that'll be all right. Yeah, he buys the rotisserie chicken and will take every little last morsel.
I get that. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Someone says, I'm making turkey creole with the leftover turkey today. I don't even know what that
creole.
Is.
It sounds like,
is that like a stew? Like a New Orleans
sounds,
stew?
That's what I'm thinking. Like it sounds spicy, and I'm all there for it. Turkey creole.
All right, this texter, the question we're asking today in our holiday showdown is it's more than 3 days.
Yeah.
Are you throwing out your leftovers today, or are you waiting till they get fuzzy? And I'm talking about the malt. This texter, I'll eat leftovers, produce, meat, etc., until it either smells or looks weird. My wife, on the other hand, wants to toss food a day past expiration. It's a constant war.
Yeah.
And generally, these two people marry each other. You know, either somebody who, the minute it expires, it's in the garbage, cleaned out, and the other one will, you know, they'll eat it the next year.
It's so funny.
Yes.
Like, even stuff that I know is so bad, like, I'm just like, maybe I can just have one more bite of it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Like, the other day, I made a peanut butter sandwich. And I'm like eating it, and the bread all of a sudden, it smells like nail polish remover.
It's off. Something's off.
So then I opened the bag of bread.
Oh, God.
And it did. It's like I thought somebody dumped.
No.
Like nail polish remover in the bread. So I was going to throw the sandwich away. I'm like, just give me one more bite, though. And then I threw the sandwich away.
Gross.
Well, then Jen comes home. I said, smell this. What's going on with this bread? She's like, it's fermenting. Like, you ate that? I said, well, I didn't eat the whole thing.
That's a grow hair on your chest, my friend.
It's not going to kill you. We eat fermented things all the time.
Right.
Well, it's not going to kill you, but, you know, you might be on the toilet for a few hours later that afternoon.
Right. Were you?
No, I wasn't. Well, I am every day. I made turkey wild rice soup yesterday. Delicious.
Hello, Adam and Jordana. All of my leftovers except the cranberry sauce went in the trash last night. I could sense my mother tisking me from heaven. Sorry, Ma. That's from Mary Beth. It's okay, Mary Beth. You got to stay healthy. And you can still eat the cranberry sauce.
And you know what the main thing this all has to do with? How long you're keeping your leftovers. Whenever your trash day is.
I agree. Yeah, my trash
day
is
Monday. So our trash
day is
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I'm sure we didn't have many leftovers anyway. We just had mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure all that will be going into the garbage tonight.
Fair. You got to clean it out.
Yep.
Someone says freeze extras right away. I know, but you want the leftovers like the next 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to freeze them right away. You want to eat them the next day. But they say freeze them right away. I make Swanson's dozen dinner in a foil pan. Label it 3 weeks when you're really busy. Put it out and heat it up. Okay, that's very organized.
I agree with the things you have too much of. Like, we did a whole turkey for 7 people, which means there's a lot of turkey left over.
Yeah.
And right after dinner, I basically divided the leftovers in half and froze half of it another day. Because you just know you're not going to get through all this turkey in the next few days.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. And that's very organized, by the way. So good job.
A lot of foresight there. I don't have that kind of foresight when it comes to food.
Me neither.
That's why I eat like crap.
Someone says, I made a homemade turkey pot pie with homemade crust. So, see, that would be amazing. That sounds amazing, a turkey pot pie. Someone said, I made broth for soup yesterday. I will make turkey croquettes. What are turkey croquettes?
Oh, like balls. Turkey balls.
Okay. Using turkey and mashed potatoes today.
Yeah.
Turkey balls.
So you grind up the turkey, make croquettes. Oh, that sounds actually delicious.
Maybe deep
gravy
fry
on
them
top.
Even.
Oh, yeah.
Fry them up. That sounds really good. Mm-mm-mm. Anyway, we digress.
Yep.
That's our holiday showdown. Thank you so much for sharing whether or not you're throwing away your leftovers today or if you're continuing to eat. When we get back, there's been an interesting viral debate. There was a piece last week about the war on poverty. And somebody wrote that the new poverty line, and really this is it, he is a portfolio manager. His name is Michael Green, Simplify Asset Management Chief Strategist and Portfolio Manager. So he's some money marketing guy, no relation. He went viral last week for saying the poverty line should really be $140,000 for a family of four. So a family of four making $140,000 should be considered in today's day and age at the poverty level. Wow. Let's react to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I think there's a voice message.
In the 60s, in 1960s, the poverty level was identified at about $36,000. That was the poverty level. It was a formula in 1965 when the typical American household spent about one-third of its income on food. There was a case made by an economist who was a wealth manager, some money guy, wrote an article last week that the new poverty line should be $140,000. He claims because $140,000 isn't luxury. You're not living a luxury life for a family of four to be making $140,000.
So this is $140,000 for a family of four.
A family of four. Okay. He says this isn't about luxury. It's about economic reality and the fundamentals that require achieving stability and security in the modern economic American life. And now also, the poverty level should, he claims, it should be defined not as near starvation. So it's not like your kids are on the verge of starvation, but he defines it as you're one paycheck away from a massive life altering instances where you could lose your home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And here's how he redefines poverty. It's not starvation. It's insecurity. So if you're living,
yes,
if you're living at a level where you are insecure about your next meal or your next paycheck or, you know, God forbid your car breaks down, he says that should be redefined mm-hmm. as the poverty level. He says there are after a family of four earning $140,000 in a high cost area, any area outside of Minneapolis would be that, you would hit a critical ceiling because if you make $140,000, you will have zero savings. You'll be able to save zero after covering your taxes, your housing, your health care, and if you have any debt. Okay, so the ability to save for a down payment or retirement is minimal or non-existent because if you're as a family of four, if you're making $140,000 a year, and let's say you're renting somewhere, after you cover your rent, your health care, any debt you might have, student, you know, student debt, or taxes and health care, you won't have any savings. You'll also have a zero buffer, he goes on to say. There are three tenets to his argument. A single job loss or any medical emergency, even an unexpected car repair, can plunge the family into debt, creating a state of crisis. And then thirdly, he says no mobility. Without any discretional income, you can't get further professional training. You can't save for college, and you can't even relocate because you really don't have the money you would need to pay for the relocation and maybe the down payment on a new, or, you know, a new, even, a, you know, you have to pay like a month's rent up front, that they wouldn't be able to have that. So we're no longer, these people aren't at the risk of starvation immediately, but one thing goes wrong and now they have a problem. They are also not able to save. There is no buffer, and they can also not better themselves because they can't afford to pay for night school. And he makes a pretty good case that $140,000, knowing what rents are, and this is all over the country. This isn't like $140,000 in New York City. You're definitely in the poverty line if you're at $140,000 in New York City. But he's talking about, you know, somebody in Eagan or somebody in St. Cloud. If they make $140,000, and you know what, Adam? He makes a really good case.
I listening to the whole thing and then reading the piece, I think I absolutely agree. Because, and two, the poverty line, as you mentioned, was formulated in the 1960s.
Correct.
And just as an example, in the 1960s, roughly a third of a family's budget was food.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Food. Today, it's less than 10%.
Right. Right.
So, because we have cell phones now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have internet service now.
Mm-hmm.
We have streaming services now.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, folks? Those are necessities.
Yes.
Now, you could argue the TV streaming service is not a necessity.
They're not, but a cell phone, the parents need to have a cell phone. You do business on it. You have to have
a
mobile
device.
Cannot
function without a cell phone
Absolutely.
In this day and age as a professional.
You cannot.
Okay, so don't roll your eyes at that. And here's the other thing I think about. I mean, what you just described is a lot of people.
Yes. Yes.
And if we, and those people right now are not considered at the poverty line.
They're not.
So
they get no help.
So we still consider those folks middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why the middle class or people who are making six figures like that are still deeply, deeply frustrated and deeply, deeply angry at how life is going for them, because they are saying, well, I make a good living. Why am I not getting ahead?
Because of all of these things. And he goes on to say that housing in the 1960s, you know, was proportionate to your income. And it, that calculation still exists. You should buy a house that, you know, like one third of your you multiply your income three times is what you can afford. Now, in major metropolitan areas, a two bedroom apartment can easily be a half of a family's income, you know, like 50%.
Yeah.
Of the family's income. And that's an apartment. That's not a down payment.
It's a rental.
On a house. It's that is housing inflation that didn't exist in the 1960s. Also, healthcare. In the 1960s, largely they had employer provided healthcare and there were no copays. The employer just paid the healthcare and you went to the doctor. They gave you the medicine there. We just didn't have the expenses now. Now we have these ridiculously high deductibles, soaring premiums, high copays. And God forbid you have an emergency. Or like have to go to the emergency room or get diagnosed with a very serious disease, it could easily bankrupt you. Easily.
Yeah.
Also, childcare and education. You know, I'm sure my parents sent us to preschool at two or three when we could go for a very nominal
cost. This
is the
massive one here.
Now we're paying $2,000 to $5,000 a month for childcare, and this is both working couples. They didn't have that in the 1960s. The childcare expenses are out of control. Also, transportation. People lived closer to work or they lived in cities. Now you have to have two cars if both of the parents work, and you need insurance and you need to pay for the gas. I mean, those the suburban sprawl has added to that. And that didn't I didn't even add in the cost of higher education. You know, my mother went to college for free in New York City because she had good enough grades to do so. That doesn't really happen anymore.
No.
Now these kids have to pay for their education, so they come out in debt.
You're behind the eight ball when you begin your life.
So when he at first I was like $140,000, that's a great salary, but it's not for a family of four.
No.
It's they can't get ahead. And we're talking about things you need to live your life. I didn't say that they went on a vacation. I didn't say that they bought Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm.
These are all luxury expenditures. Okay, these are people that just are regular people that might have college educations. They're making, let's say each parent is working, making 70 grand a year. You'd think that would be a decent salary. And they are at the poverty level. That's the argument he's making. And you know what? He's convinced.
I agree.
Me. I agree,
140,000,
too.
I think about I forget what the topic was, but we had a caller a couple of weeks ago who called in and said he was making six figures and was talking about how he couldn't make ends meet. And we got so many texts and calls saying, that guy is out to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with
that. But he's not.
He is not out to lunch.
Especially if his wife or there was a second breadwinner and now there isn't anymore.
Right. And I still think we're in the mentality, well, six figures. Oh, if you're making over 100 grand, you're doing all right. And if we just would change our mentality on that, think about it. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to do that just for the fact that, oh, we should open more people up to government assistance. No, that's not the answer
here. No, that's
not
the answer.
But it's to think differently about who really needs help. And if we're telling ourselves we're making it or we're successful, mm-hmm. we're really not. Because there's so many different factors that come into play here.
But the government can help. For example, healthcare.
Yeah.
Negotiate for lower cost drugs. And don't let United Healthcare or whoever is out to gouge people and then deny them care. I think the government can absolutely, government run healthcare. They have it in Canada. They have it in so many other developed countries. There is a way to do that that takes the onus off of bankruptcy risk if you have one medical emergency. And coming from a person who has seen a lot of medical bills, it's just so easy to get yourself into trouble. Childcare, early childhood education, you know, health, some subsidies regarding, you know, daycare. I think the government can help out in those spaces where it could be like mutually beneficial, hiring more people that maybe they're government employees, maybe they're not. It just, the government can help, but we have been so run by capitalism gone awry mm-hmm. in this country that we are squeezing the American consumer. And now $140,000 is the poverty level. And that's just where we are.
Gene in Maplewood, is $140,000 poverty level, or just are we wanting too much out of life?
Well, first of all, for a family of four, that could be. But, okay, I'm a retired county social worker. I retired in 2014, so maybe things have changed, you know. But and I worked with vulnerable adults, adult protection. Mm-hmm. You know, and my clients, many of them at that time didn't have a cell phone because, well, they couldn't afford it. And you know, when you talk about people have this or that, and this, and you talk about a family, this family, they're probably at the very base of what they have. But, you know, when I'm trying to think about some of my clients who may have been, most of them were single, but it could have been a family, but they maybe didn't have hardly basics, and they didn't even have enough food. They had to go to food shelves and things like that, and these people probably didn't have to do that, or maybe they had to. But, you know, the poverty level is really low for a lot of people, and a lot of people did not have enough money to stretch. And you got to also know that a lot of my clients were on Social Security. Now, Social Security, disability. Now, just because they're on disability doesn't mean they qualify for food stamps.
Yeah.
Or not. They didn't. I mean, one of my clients was on Social Security SSI, which is a form of that for people who didn't earn enough quarters, and she got $15 a month for food stamps. Yeah. Wow. You know?
Yeah, thanks, Gene. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. Let's take a break and get more reaction to it because... Mm-hmm. Again, there's so many people who just assume that these are people who are trying to live above their means, and I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's it. It's so
either.
Easy to say that,
either.
Like, oh, give me a break. You don't,
I
have,
don't either.
Like, come on. Like, you grew up in a different time, I think, when it was much easier to get by and save.
I mean, you didn't start with debt.
Right.
A lot of these people are starting with debt. Just from going to college.
Yeah. 651-461-9226, your calls and texts next.
If you can't afford children, don't have them. What does that even mean?
Nobody would have kids if they could have. You know how many people would have kids only if they could afford them?
And what does that mean? We have to have
a fraction of them.
$250,000 in the bank for every kid that we can have because that's what it costs to raise a kid now. Yeah. And God forbid they want to play a sport.
Right.
You know, you got to pay for that too. Or have fun.
Or, you know, have somebody watch them while I go to work.
You know, and this texter, starting with debt, who took out the loans they didn't anticipate paying back? I'm not saying
Nobody.
They didn't anticipate them paying back. They are paying them back.
And they couldn't go to college without the loans is the point.
That's what I mean. Like they took out the loans. They went to a state school. They're now $80,000 in debt and getting an apartment and buying a car to commute or leasing a car to commute. Paying the insurance on all of that after taxes, and paying back the debt that you get nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's hard. And I have a lot of empathy for these kids in this, in these younger generations, because it is really hard out there. There's so much inflation with the healthcare costs, with the housing expenses that we just didn't have, or not even we, I'm a Gen Xer, that our parents, the baby boomers didn't have when they were coming up.
And I think this is another example where we like to blame ourselves. When I say blame ourselves, we blame us. We blame our neighbor. We blame the people down the street, or it's our fault when we are getting played.
Yes.
We're just getting played to pit each other against, to pit us against each other while.
This is the making of capitalism gone awry.
Yes.
This is the making of people at healthcare companies squeezing the American public, and lawmakers who are unwilling to go up against their lobbyists to keep our healthcare costs down. This is not the fault. Not that everybody who's in debt is not at fault.
Right.
We need to be more careful about our finances. I understand.
It does not absolve us.
More needs and less wants. I get all of that. But remember, what has happened over the last 50 years in this country is capitalism gone awry. Big companies and hedge fund people and money managers and politicians have been taking advantage of the middle class. I'm not the first one to say this. I'm not inventing this. I've just been watching. But the idea that $140,000 is not enough for a family of four to even not meet their basic needs, but even like take a vacation.
Right.
They want to take the kids to the Black Hills.
Yep.
That is an extra expense that costs, by the way, thousands of dollars for them to do that. And they can't even do that. That's not okay. Taking the kids out to the movies is going to cost you $50 at this point. And these families don't have that extra. Because God forbid their car breaks down, or God forbid you have a case of strep throat in the house that runs through the family, you now have to pay a $25 copay for every person that goes in the house. There's $100 right there because you all need your antibiotics.
Right.
It little things, it adds up. And I'm tired of blaming these families. Do they have a phone? Yes, they need it to work.
Right.
They need it. They need a phone.
Yeah, try to get a job right now. Like, well, what's your
Good
cell
luck.
Phone? I don't have a cell phone. Well, you're going to need one.
Good luck. So let's stop blaming everybody and let's look for solutions. And I put this squarely. There are some solutions that can be governmentally regulated, i.e. healthcare, childcare, things like that. There are other ones that, you know, they don't control the mortgage industry or housing costs, but I'm not smart enough to figure out the solution to that. But it seems like there could be one.
Right. And that when you talk about that, people automatically, and we're not talking about we're paying for other people to have it.
No.
It's called fixing the system.
No.
And you know why? Because we're so afraid to even speak up against any kind of regulation for these corporations. Because, oh, man, you can't do that. That's where we run into the problem. We're not talking about paying for other people who can't afford it.
No.
We're talking about making the system more equitable and fair so that it is affordable for more people.
Mm-hmm. Someone texted, you shouldn't have to make a lot of money to have kids. I get it. You shouldn't have to have a lot of money to make kids. $140,000 should be enough. But now, if one of those kids wants to play hockey, you're going to have to borrow or get a second job to pay for not only their equipment, but then the tournaments that they want to go to. What are some of those weekend tournaments
forget about
cost?
It. Yeah.
Right, with the hotel and the driving down there and all of the meals out.
So easy just to skip that. Oh, we can't go to that.
Yeah, I understand that we didn't have that as a kid. Sure, my parents weren't schlepping to tournaments. That's something. But it was more like that was more accepted in the culture to not do it. Nowadays, if your kid wants to play a school sport, there are added expenses on the family.
I'm the buffer for a family of four in my extended family. The majority of my retirement income goes to help them not live paycheck to paycheck. I will not let their children be denied a few extras in life. Good
that
on you
so
for
kind.
Doing that, right?
Yeah, that is kind. But see, you
not
see
everybody
it.
Has that,
you,
too.
Right, not everybody. But you see it, like the extra Christmas gifts or a trip on MEA weekend. Like, those are the little, I mean, that leads to a good life, too.
Right. All right. CBS.
I feel depressed now.
I know. Where do we go from here?
I know.
Stop It. Maybe we can throw that into Stop It. 11:35, we'll do Stop It. What do you want to stop? Stop it with this Cyber Monday.
No, oh, I
stop it with
stop
the
that.
Poverty line. Whatever it is, we'll do that at 11:35 with Adam and Jordana on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.